peace with God.
It might not surprise you that Billy Graham will be teaching today on God's love and mercy. What might surprise you, though, is that the teaching is based on what the Bible has to say about sex outside of marriage.
There is no sin in all the Bible that Jesus dealt so tenderly with as he did this sin. He was kind and loving and merciful to all of those that were willing to turn from it. And he was willing to give them new strength and a new life. And he'll do the same for you.
You can learn more about God's desire to help you through every trial and temptation in your life on today's edition of Peace with God. This program's an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer, and also on today's program, biblical insight from Billy Graham's grandson, Will Graham.
Once we change direction, come back to God, He is ready to receive us like a parent waiting for a runaway child to come home.
Don't miss the rest of Will's insight coming up right after his grandfather's message.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
The title of today's message is The Moral Problem. The message rings just as true today as it did when Billy Graham first delivered it more than 50 years ago at his 1964 crusade in San Diego, California. Let's listen now here on Peace with God.
Now tonight, I want you to turn with me to the 8th chapter. The 8th chapter of John's Gospel. This little incident in the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in immorality. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in immorality, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And he said, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now the law of Moses in that day said that she had to be stoned until she was dead. And these Pharisees were not interested in morality. They were interested in trapping Jesus. They wanted to get him on the horns of a dilemma. We're living in a period when there's a great discussion on morality in this country. There's a great discussion among the older people. The young people of our generation are but just shadows of the older generation. It's the older generation that is setting a poor example in morality. Not only sexual morality, but lying and cheating. In every area of our life, until chiseling and cheating and shortcuts are taken everywhere, and our young people see their fathers and mothers telling so-called white lies, cheating on income tax, taking shortcuts, and they throw up their hands and say, So what? If they can do it, so can we. What is the university student attitude? A growing number of college students do not consider that premarital relations are immoral. On the contrary, they view it not only as a natural expression of affection, but as a valuable experience in personal growth. There's been a shift of society's code of judgment away from moral codes based on religion. And today's campus code maybe tomorrow's national morality. What about the teenagers when they see all of this and witness all this in the older generation among the university and college students? I find that teenagers today are concerned about what's right and what's wrong. And they're not being told what's right and what's wrong. And they want somebody to stand up and say, what is right and what is wrong? How far can I go? Tonight, I don't want to quote the sociologist or the psychiatrist. I want to go to the Bible. What does the Bible have to say about this morality in the country? The seventh commandment says, thou shalt not commit immorality. God put a safeguard around marriage, and God said, sex within the bonds of matrimony is pure and holy and wonderful, and the greatest act between two individuals who love in marriage, and it's for the propagation of the race. But outside of marriage, the Bible teaches that this is one of the worst, the most heinous, the most deadly of sins. And I want to tell you tonight what God says about it. Thou shalt not commit immorality. And Jesus, explaining that seventh commandment, went even further. Jesus said, even if you have lust in your heart, you've already broken the seventh commandment. Jesus said, your thoughts, your intents are going to be judged in the sight of God at the judgment as much as the act itself. The Bible teaches it's a sin against God the Father. The Bible teaches it's a sin against God the Son because you're bought with a price. The Bible teaches it is a sin against the Holy Spirit because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches that this sin causes a person to steal. You steal something that doesn't belong to you from another person. The Bible teaches that a man that commits this sin resembles an animal in the sight of God. The Bible teaches that this sin is destructive to the body. The Bible teaches that this sin sears the mind. It affects the mind. The Bible teaches that this sin hardens the heart more than any other sin. Hosea the prophet said, lust takes away the heart. There is no sin that will harden your heart against God more than this sin. There is no sin that will destroy your relationship to your God like this sin. The Bible teaches that this sin also damns the soul. 1 Corinthians 6 says, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor effeminate shall enter into the kingdom of God. Unless you have repented of your sin and received Christ as Savior and had your sin washed away in His blood, you cannot possibly get into the kingdom of God, the Bible says. The Bible says that this sin also becomes a master in your life, to whom you yield yourself. You're captured by it. You're captured by the lustful thinking. You're captured by the evil daydreaming. You're captured by some affair. And you find yourself a servant. You'd like to break the ropes and chains and fetters that bind you, but you can't do it. We become so inflamed, the Bible says, with passion that we have no power to turn around. But David committed this sin and repented, and God forgave him. Mary Magdalene repented, and God forgave her. And God can do the same for you. There is no sin in all the Bible that Jesus dealt so tenderly with as He did this sin. He was kind and loving and merciful to all of those that were willing to turn from it. And He was willing to give them new strength and a new life. And He'll do the same for you.
You know, you can discover more about the strength and new life that God is offering you right now. Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or you can call us. Our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
The Bible says there is a time, a season for everything, for birth and death, for planting and uprooting, which is what Barb is experiencing since war forced her to leave full-time work in the Central African Republic, where she'd served for over 2 decades as a missionary.
I know their language, I know their culture, I know their people, I love their people. Those people are my people, and that country I call my country.
Now, God's beginning a new season in Barb's life, a season in which she'll share his love with people facing desperate situations in countries all over the world, no longer just in the Central African Republic.
I speak Sango, their language. I can't use it anywhere else, but I can see that God's opening up this new area for me, and I'm excited about it. It's good, and everything God does is good.
Trust God to put you and use you whenever and wherever he wants. Learn more at billygraham.org. Click on Grow Your Faith.
Thanks for being with us for this edition of Peace with God. The recently released major motion picture Unbroken tells part of the amazing story of the late Louis Zamperini, an American war hero and Olympic athlete. He survived 47 days on a life raft in the Pacific and then 2.5 years in a Japanese POW camp. But when World War II was over, Louis was haunted by the memories of abuse he suffered in that POW camp.
I began to feel sorry for myself and began to drink and drink more and more. My wife was getting awful discouraged and was even contemplating divorce.
But then Louis's wife went to Billy Graham's 1949 Greater Los Angeles Crusade. There, she gave her life to Jesus Christ, and she decided that instead of divorcing Louis, she would invite him to the crusade too. Although he resisted at first, he gave in when his circumstances kept getting worse.
The last and final blow came when I lost everything I had, and my car was repossessed, and so it was on the strength of that that I decided to go down to the tent meeting.
But even then, he had to overcome some last-minute resistance.
We started to leave. I got to the main aisle. I stood right there for a moment. You might call it my crossroad of decision. And then I suddenly realized what I had to do. I turned to the right, went back to the prayer meeting, and I made my commitment there to Jesus.
After Louis Zamperini surrendered his life to Jesus Christ, he stopped having nightmares about his experiences in Japanese POW camps, and he was given the grace to forgive the men who'd abused him. Forgiveness he got to express in person when he was invited to speak to his former captors in Japan.
Well, I spoke to the 850 total. Then I saw my guards. I identified them as they walked down the aisle. Well, this was quite a thrill to me to see these men after all these years and know for sure now and for certain that even seeing them face to face, that the forgiveness was total.
Louis passed away last year at the age of 97. You can watch a powerful video of him telling his own story in a DVD titled Louis Zamperini, Captured by Grace. It's our way of saying thank you for your gift of any amount to the ongoing work of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. You can learn more at peacewithgodradio.org. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or you can call us. Our number is 888-61-JESUS. 888-615-3787.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Billy Graham's teaching today that because of Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, there is no sin that God is not willing to forgive. That includes sexual sin.
There is no sin in all the Bible that Jesus dealt so tenderly with as he did this sin. He was kind and loving and merciful to all of those that were willing to turn from it. And he was willing to give them new strength and a new life. And he'll do the same for you. There is no sin that breaks the marriage like this sin. There is no sin that destroys the youthful glow in a man or a woman's face like this sin. There is no sin that is more destructive to the total personality and all of life's social relationships like this sin. And yet God loves you and is willing to forgive and forget that you've ever committed this sin if you put your trust and your confidence in him. Now I want you to remember this. Temptation is not a sin. You can be tempted, but that's not a sin. Satan does the tempting. God never tempts anybody. All of us are tempted. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every point. You say, do you think that Jesus was tempted along this line? The Bible says he was tempted in every point, like as we are, yet without sin. He showed us how it's possible to resist these temptations. Now, when temptation comes, don't get discouraged and say, well, I've already failed. No, you haven't. The temptation itself is not the sin. The thing that is the sin is when you yield to the temptation. How do you overcome the temptation? First of all, when you have a temptation, the Bible says, count it all joy. You say, how can I rejoice when I'm tempted? Satan tempts all Christian people. Count it all joy when you enter into divers temptations. Don't get discouraged. And then secondly, counter attack. The Bible says, overcome evil with good. Substitute good thoughts for bad thoughts. Good deeds for bad deeds. So when Satan comes and tempts you along this line, immediately set up an offense. Start thinking about something good and decent. And above all, learn some scripture verses and quote a passage of scripture. Every time Jesus was tempted, he quoted the scriptures. He said, it is written. And Satan could not overcome the Word of God. That's the reason it's so important to learn the Bible, memorize these passages of scripture. And then thirdly, there must be constant vigilance. The Bible says, be diligent. Christ always warned his disciples to watch. Now, what are some suggestions in being diligent? First, avoid the wrong company. The Bible says, how can you take a fire to your breast and not be burned? Many of you like to play with fire and you think you won't be burned. You'll be burned. Avoid the wrong company. And that means that some of you may have to break up with your boyfriend or your girlfriend. And if you're carrying on an affair that is not right, you break it up now as an evidence of the fact that you're repenting of sin. Jesus said, unless you're willing to deny self, your own selfish desires that are wrong, and are willing to take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my follower and my disciple. If you're going to take your stand for Jesus Christ and you're going to follow him, it's going to cost you. I'm not asking you to follow Christ because it's easy. I tell you, it's not easy to be a Christian. It's hard in this materialistic, secularistic, immoral generation. But the scripture says, let your light shine in this crooked and perverse generation. And then secondly, watch your eyes. The Apostle Peter said that the average man has his eyes full of immorality. Make a covenant with your eyes tonight and say, oh God, I'm going to give my eyes to Jesus Christ. Let him keep them from looking upon that which is impure. And then, thirdly, watch your lips. The Bible says evil communications corrupt. Dirty stories, off-color jokes are out for the person that wants to live a clean, pure life for Jesus Christ. And when somebody else tells one in your presence, don't laugh. And that'll be a rebuke to him. You may be unpopular, but they will respect you. And they'll say, I wish I could live like that. And then fourthly, watch your heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now the heart stands for the whole personality, especially the mind. Keep your mind pure. And then fifthly, watch your dress. Watch your recreation and your amusements. What films do you see? What television programs do you watch? What about your reading habits? You say, I don't have the strength. I don't have the power to resist. I don't have the power to do all of these things. Of course you don't. But Christ will help you if you let him. He comes into your heart. He helps guide you. He gives you extra strength. He gives you extra power to live the Christian life. And then next, watch your leisure hours. Show me a young person in his leisure hour, and I'll show you the type of young person he is. When David was idle is when he got in trouble. Keep busy in doing good things. And you never find a true Christian young person saying, I don't know what to do. Because in Christ, there's always something to do. There's a neighbor to visit. There's a person of the other race that you can go out of your way to be a friend to. There are a thousand things you can do. There's the Bible to learn and study. And there's the joy of prayer. You don't have to be bored. You don't have to be idle. And then, next, be sure that Christ is in your heart. Do you know Christ is your Savior? Do you know Him as your Lord? The Bible says He died on the cross for our sins. He died for you. And He died for you as though you were the only person in the world. And He wants to forgive you. And He wants to make you a new person. You say, but Billy, what do I have to do? When Jesus said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she answered Jesus and said, no man, Lord. In that moment she was saying, Lord, my very own Lord. She made her decision at that moment to receive Christ as Savior, Lord, and Master. And Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. I'm asking you tonight to receive Christ as your Lord and your Savior and your Master.
You can find more information about receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior at our website, peacewithgodradio.org. Click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. And you can give us a call. Our phone number is 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787. That's the same number to use if you'd like a free CD of today's program. It's yours to listen to anytime you like or to share with someone else. Just give us a call and let us know you'd like the free CD copy of this edition of Peace with God. The number again is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787.
Peace
with
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
The new movie, Unbroken, tells part of the story of Louis Zamperini's amazing life as an Olympic athlete and a World War II hero. Now you can watch the rest of his story. How God changed his life after he attended Billy Graham's 1949 Greater Los Angeles Crusade. Watch Louis Zamperini Captured by Grace, the latest TV special from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Check your local listings or billygraham.tv for station and airtimes. That's billygraham.tv. Louis Zamperini, Captured by Grace.
As Billy Graham just taught, there's no sin that's bigger than God's mercy and grace. Not only does God want to forgive you of your sins, but as Billy Graham's grandson Will explains, he also wants to restore your relationship with him.
There are times in our life when we feel far from God. Matter of fact, maybe right now you feel like God is distant, or at least he seems to be very quiet in your life. Often, we believe it's because God has moved away from us, but in reality, it is us who's moved away from God. In Zechariah chapter 1, verse 3, the prophet told the people to return back to God, and God would restore that relationship. Israel had turned from God and his words and went down the paths of disobedience and spiritual idolatry. The prophet was sent to tell the people to come back, to repent, in other words, to return to God, and they did. When we live by faith, then we must realize that God has not moved, but rather it is us. Sin will usually take us far from God, but the good news is that once we change direction and come back to God, He is ready to receive us like a parent waiting for a runaway child to come home. Keep listening for the call of God. He is waiting for you. Live by faith and not by sight. For Peace with God, I'm Will Graham.
Someone who heard the call of God at a Billy Graham crusade after a life of very high highs and very low lows was war hero and Olympic athlete Louis Zamperini. The DVD, Louis Zamperini, Captured by Grace, tells his amazing story. We're offering Captured by Grace as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ongoing work of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. You can give online at peacewithgodradio.org. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or you can give over the phone by calling 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. Next week here on Peace with God, a challenging message from Billy Graham.
Real faith carries with it the idea of commitment. Not just believing with your head, but a commitment of your life, of every phase of your life to Christ.
That's next week here on Peace with God. I'm Bill Meyer saying thanks so much for being with us today. Peace with God is an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.